Well, amen. If you win your Bibles tonight, turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll use that as a springboard for our text tonight and talking about church planting tonight. And it is us here tonight, and there's a few that I wish was here. I tell you what, I miss Brother Tim today. Brother Tim, as far as I know, besides going to camp, that's where he's at. He's going to camp with the kids, him and Miss Carla. I don't think in our existence has missed a Sunday other than going to camp. And, that's to be saying something, isn't it? In this day and age, which everybody's gone, and, you know, even for vacations, my family will miss. But I tell you what, it's one of the points I'm going to make tonight is the next generation to follow will do, normally, will do less than what we do. And when you miss, you miss church for a ball game, or you miss church for, I love that old song. I told my wife, we're going to learn that song. There's no song called Excuses. Excuses, you hear them every day. So how many of y'all remember that song? That's a good one, isn't it? The devil, he'll supply them if in church you stay away. One of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. You know, one kid gets sick, the whole family stays home. Let me tell you, you wait and watch. The next generation will do less. They'll miss for anything. Or they may not come at all. And so we need to teach that next generation and be a good example to them. I appreciate Brother Tim and his example of faithfulness. And we do miss them today. And again, thank you, Brother Brandon. Done a good job today. And amen. Continue to go forward. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Spend a little time. And the Bible says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is upon you, come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. And I want you to underline, if you haven't yet in your Bible, the word both. Both in Jerusalem and, that'll be underlined, the word and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this is the commission that Christ gave to His church. That group of believers. That first church that He established. Amen? And that commission is now given to us. And so I want to give you some things tonight, some practical things as we go forward in looking at planting churches ourselves. It's one thing to help other churches plant churches, but we're going to plant a church. Amen? We're going to plant one. And so it's exciting. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. Bless our campers. Keep them safe on the road. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, why start a church? Why start a church? Well, number one, there's a pressing need in this generation for starting churches. I forget, Brother Sexton has said it many times, how many churches are closing their doors every day. There are more churches in America closing their doors than there are opening. So we're not doing this, we're doing this. I was reading today where in 1990 there were only 24 churches running over 2,000. Now there's 1,300 running over 2,000. But that's, you think, well, that's awesome. No. No, what's happened is the megachurch phenomena has taken, for the most part, you know what it is? Here's a good illustration of it. I remember when I was a kid, and we had, in our little town, our downtown, the big town of Bowie, Texas. And, the old buildings. And those were full of stuff. I remember my mom taking us as little kids and going into one of those little department stores downtown, the old buildings, and buying our clothes for school because there was no other place in town to buy it. Then a TG&Y went in. How many of y'all remember TG&Y? Gibson's was already there. Gibson's, and then a TG&Y came in. And then we started buying, that was, it's headed that direction. And then finally, here comes Walmart. Y'all remember this? And there was a big outcry when Walmart first got started. Why? Because it shut pop stores down, right? Shut them down. And I'll never forget, in our little town, it was a huge, huge deal. I remember TG&Y there for a little while tried to stay in business, and they tried to compete. And there for a while, they were selling shampoo for like 12 cents. You know, trying to compete with Walmart, just took their prices and just took them to nothing. They were losing money just to put the others out of business. And I remember my parents going down and buying boxes of shampoo and other things that they could get for like 10, 12 cents. But it ran them out of business. That's a lot of what's going on for the most part, not all the mega churches are doing that. For the most part, they are. The mega churches are doing nothing but tapping into the smaller churches and bringing them in to those mega churches. For the most part, not all of them, they're not winning new people to Jesus Christ. They're simply gathering from the other flocks with the outcry and with the advertising of having more programs. I'll never forget, even when we started here, they said, "Well, what do you have? What programs do you have?" And, "Well, this church has this, this, and this." I said, "We don't go to church for the programs. Amen? We go to church to hear the Word of God preached." But that's not for the most part. So what I'm saying is, though there are more churches running over 2,000, there are less Christians in America than there was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. There are less people percentage-wise attending church in 2010 than there was in 1990. Now, you saw the statistic here a while back, 15% people in America now claim to be atheists. 15%. Isn't that amazing? I had a chance to sit down a little bit this afternoon, and we watch a lot of HGTV and the History Channel and all those type of things. But one of the things was there, had a program. I told my wife, I want to see this. And in New York, they were selling real estate. And in order to sell the real estate, the realtor was going to bring in a guy to cleanse the apartment. They brought in a guy with some smoky thingy and rubbed it around the apartment. Supposedly that was supposed to clean the apartment of all the bad aura, the bad energy. That's where America's coming to. Why do we need to plant churches? There's a great pressing need today. A great pressing need today. Not just to plant churches in Papua New Guinea and plant churches in South America. And North, you know, there's a great opportunity and a need today to plant churches in North America. To plant churches in the United States of America. Or else we will be like Europe. We will have many, many church buildings but no churches. There's a pressing need of our generation for every Christian to reproduce a Christian. Every Christian should be reproducing Christians. Amen? And Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to turn over there. Matthew 4 and verse 19. Every Christian reproducing Christians. The Bible says, "And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." That's what we're supposed to be out doing. We're to be calling people. We're to be telling the others about Jesus. We're to be reproducing ourselves. The commission for the church goes for us as well, to tell others about Jesus Christ. I told you this morning, one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian for your growth is to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. If you would, every time you tell somebody about Jesus, it's like flexing your muscles as a Christian. If you truly want to grow as a Christian, you must be a witness. Really. Because when you're not witnessing, you're not being a testimony, you're disobeying the Lord's commands. Every Christian should be a reproducing Christian. And then for me, every pastor should be a reproducing pastor. Every teacher should be a reproducing teacher. 2 Timothy 2:2 says that we might be able to teach others also. We teach them so they can teach others. And we're really going to try to emphasize that more and more throughout this next year, that as we teach and as we preach, I'm going to try to do a better job of teaching and preaching in such a way that you can take that same thing and teach somebody else. It's very important. Very important to reproduce ourselves. And then lastly, for every church to be reproducing a church. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, both in Jerusalem and in Judea. And at the same time, you say, what do you mean? I'm saying Jesus Christ is saying that we're to be witnesses in Haslett, Texas, and in the state of Texas, and in the United States of America, and in the world, all at the same time. And listen, we can't just leave that up to someone else. Now again, I believe there's a time and place to plant a church, and that's the next point. But it's called upon us to plant churches. We can't rely solely upon other churches. We can't just continue to only partner with others. We must go. We must go. And I think we ought to have a plan for not just planting this church, but planting more churches throughout the year, and have some plan in our mission budget as we go throughout the year, so that we come to another 10 years, we don't look back and say, well, we planted. You remember when we planted that one church back there in 2010? I'd like for us in 2020 to look back and say, remember when we planted those five churches in those 10 years or whatever the case is, maybe four churches or even three churches, whatever the Lord does. I mean, I think there should be a plan in place, and I hope that you'll be behind us as we try to do that. Put a plan in place. And what do you mean by plan? I mean putting the resources together, praying for men to either be raised up in this church or men like Jason Pugh who will come to us and we can send them out. But have a plan in place. When should churches be planted? Well, the church in Jerusalem was 120 members when it was commissioned by the Lord Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel. By the way, they accomplished that mission. The then known world at that time was given the gospel. It can be accomplished. The church at Thessalonica was about 1 year old when Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. The church at Antioch was only a few years old when they set out to reach the world. So, time, we're now almost 10 years old. It's time. It's time. God will send us preachers, and God will raise up preachers in this church. If our goal is to plant churches, God will send us men who can do that, who can help us, who can partner with us to plant churches. So where will all the preachers come from? God will send them to us. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He'll send laborers into the harvest. God will raise them up. Again, either in our church for those men who may be called in our church to the full-time ministry or bring them in. And so we see that. The church of Jerusalem sent out Philip and Barnabas and Silas. I mean, they raised up their own guys and sent them out to plant churches. I believe absolutely if we had a plan in place, which we will do, and our college students, our Bible college students, and I'll put them on the spot like Brother Harry and Brother Doyce and others, if they knew we had a plan in place and they went to Bible college, and say we had some younger guys who went off to Heartland or went off to Oklahoma or went off to California to school, if they knew we had a plan in place that they could come back in 3 or 4 years and they'd have a job, I don't mean, I know ministry, I understand that, and they'd have a paid position to come back and be on our staff for 6 months or so and go out and plant a church. How many of you think some of them would come back and plant churches with us? They would, absolutely. By the way, this is what they're doing in Canada right now. This is what Brother Earl Jessup started in Canada. The Heritage Baptist Church, Brother Jessup's home church there in Canada, most of their students that they send off to Bible college come back, come on their staff, and they send them out to plant churches. And it's not a huge church. Amen. So we see others that are doing it, are accomplishing it. I'm not saying we'll follow that same pattern, but it's going to be close. There is opportunity to do this. There is an opportunity to do this. And God will send us the preachers to do it. And I don't want to retell the whole story, but Brother Jason being here was absolutely God. Us starting this church was absolutely the Lord. If you got to remember now, we were in our home missions conference. We didn't do a foreign missions conference last year. We did a home missions conference. We were praying in our January of 2009. We mentioned from the pulpit in our budget meeting that we were beginning to save to plant a church, save from finances to plant a church. And within just a few months, during our home missions conference, we were approached by a group and said, hey, we've got some finances. And we said, hey, don't give that finance to somebody else. We'll take it and we'll go down there and plant a church in that area. So God just sped up the process. What would have taken us 2 or 3 years to get the finances together, to get everything in place, happened within just 2 or 3 weeks. Isn't that amazing? Once the decision was made and I believe the heart of the church was in it, once the heart of the church was in it, God answered that prayer. I don't know how many of you were praying. I was. My prayer was answered. And many of yours was as well. And God opened the door for us to plant a church in Burleson. And that's what I mean. If He'll open the door 8 months ago or 9 months ago, He'll open the door again in the future. And so the funds for new church plants. And I think the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And that's exactly what I believe happened for us back in October of last year. The finances came to us just within a few weeks. And God will supply the finances. But I do think we can put some plans in place in our mission budget to save some money towards church planting. By the way, the Berean group who is not here tonight, they may go back and look on the internet and find this out. But the monies that we've had, we've used to help get the church started, to bring Jason on staff and to assimilate him into how we do things. In other words, if a church is going to reproduce itself, it wants to reproduce itself, not some other church. So he's learned how we do it. And I'm not saying it's the best way. I think we've definitely improved over the years. And maybe we're running on six cylinders instead of eight, but we're getting that direction. And Brother Jason's going to reproduce a church just like Heritage Baptist Church in Burleson. And so, again, there's such a pressing need all over America today, not just in the Metroplex, but around America today, to plant churches. Again, God will meet the needs as He's done for us so many times. Given, it shall be given unto you. By the way, our church has pressing needs at this moment. And I could see somebody saying, well, preacher, you know, we're talking about building and talking about doing this. Why are we spending the money out there when we could use it here? Well, let us always be careful not to look inward, but look outward. Amen? And there has to be a balance, I understand, in ministry and in budgets and so forth. We can't not plant churches and support missionaries simply because we're worried about our own things. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. We've got to keep that selfless attitude, which we have. I believe that. Our church is a mission church. We're known for it. And we kind of continue that heart for missions. And God will supply the needs for planting churches, and then in turn, God will supply our needs. And God will supply our finances. Go along that same line, is it wise to plant a church when we're trying to build a church here? Again, Jesus said both in Jerusalem and in Judea. Is that not Bible? Amen? That's Bible. And so no matter what we may think or what we might reason within our own little brains, God says to do it. And so we do it. And if we'll do it, God will bless it. Amen. The Great Commission is one of evangelizing the world, evangelizing Haslett, evangelizing Burleson. It's baptizing. It's mobilizing. This is the outline here. Mobilizing, or again, discipling those. Brother Jason understands this. This is an area we want to work on the next few months. We've tried many different ways in our church to disciple. Brother Doyce is teaching a new members class. We are going to change that up here in the next few months and do something different, and try to do a better job of discipling new converts and discipling new members who need to be discipled, and making sure that they get a solid footing. Amen? And I think Jason, we've talked with Jason about discipling. You can't just go out and win a bunch of people to the Lord and then not baptize and get them in. We've seen this by several, many church planters that I've seen who have gone out and win 25, 30 people to the Lord during the week, and they're still running five. And so the Bible's, the Great Commission is threefold: evangelize, baptize, stabilize. Anything short of that is disobedience. And God will not bless it. Amen. And our church, we need to do a better job of those three things as well. And we want to do a better job. Where did the church in Jerusalem first choose to plant other churches? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, that they were scattered abroad. And that was actually also one of the text verses I was going to use tonight. Look there with me in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Stephen had been stoned to death. And it says here that there was great persecution. Verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Paul was a murderer. He consented unto the death, just pointing that out. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all what? Scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Jesus Christ had given them a commission to go into all the world, and they were failing to do it. They were reaching Jerusalem, but they were not sending others out. So God sent persecution, absolutely, and they were scattered abroad. And because they were scattered abroad, multitudes of hundreds of churches were started, and the gospel was spread. They chose to plant churches out of persecution. Again, I think every church ought to have a plan, or else maybe God will put His plan in progress. Let's put a plan together. Why is church planting so important? Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Let me tell you, I've heard it many times. Somebody will say to me, well, Preacher, I got my own thing going. Me and God got their own thing going. You know, they'll say things like, well, church is not all that important. And I always like to tell them, the whole New Testament is about the church that Jesus Christ started. Why would Jesus Christ start a church and then lay it aside and say, okay, well, you can do whatever you want. Amen? A Christian who says, I don't need to attend church, I can have my own thing, is a disobedient Christian. And therefore an immature Christian. And therefore a baby Christian. Amen? Simple as that. Disobedient. You say, well, I don't like organized religion. Neither do I. Come to Heritage Baptist Church. We're not an organized religion. Amen. Independent Fundamental Baptist. Come on. Lord's building program involves a multiplication of local New Testament churches. He multiplied them. I don't have time. I didn't want to take time to go through the whole thing. We'll teach on it again. But it says that, you know, 3,000 were added and 5,000 were added. And it goes on and gives you other numbers there in the church of Jerusalem. And then it says a multitude. It uses those words talking about those who began to follow Jesus, accept Him as Savior, and come to that church. It's been said by some historians that that church in Jerusalem may have been had as many as 100,000 members. That's a big church. And God spread them around and spread them out. We cannot reach our world without embracing the need for reproducing churches that will reproduce more churches. So I think somewhere along the line, for some reason, the church has got the idea, if I support missionaries and do all this, I'm fine. For the most part. I read today, and there's so many things that I read and studied, but where churches in Germany, for instance, back in the 1700s, back when the persecution was taking place, one man, one church started 2,200 churches. Isn't that amazing? In Germany, in that area, all of Europe over in that area. I mean, I believe there was a time when churches had placed a greater emphasis on reproducing themselves. And I think, as I've seen many churches today, like Brother Sexton and several in our area, Brother Jessup and these ministries that are getting started, Brother Chapel out there planting churches in his area, we began now to see, hey, we better get to doing something. We're losing more churches than we're gaining. Churches better get back to reproducing themselves. Winning the lost. Making every effort to do so. Being selfless in every area. Not just to the missionaries in Africa, but to here in the States. The greatest hope America has is not Barack Obama. The greatest hope America... Did y'all hear this last week that the approval rating of our Congress is now 13%? Why don't we kick them all out? Republicans and Democrats. Start over. Anyway, 13%. They're not our hope. I guarantee you that. They're not getting much accomplished. What they are getting accomplished is not accomplishments. They're not our hope. Your doctor's not your hope. Hope in God. The hope of America is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope of America is the gospel. The hope of America is each one reaching one. Amen? What would happen if everyone if each one reached one and everyone in America was saved? This would totally be different. What kind of churches are we going to plant? And I'll end with this. What kind of churches are we going to plant? I thought of these three things as I was walking to the church building last Sunday morning. I told the deacons, I said, listen, I just got this outline and I'm going to share it with y'all tonight. And it's real simple, and it just happens to be three S's. It came to me that way. What makes Heritage Baptist Church, and there's more than this, but what makes Heritage Baptist Church different than most churches? What makes Heritage Baptist Church, what kind of church are we going to plant? That is, churches that still hold to the Scriptures. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? That still holds to the Scriptures, that they are infallible, without error, inspired, that this is, that it doesn't contain the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. that we don't believe that the Scriptures are just inspired in the originals. You go read most churches' website. If you go read their doctrinal statement, their doctrinal statement will read this. Most, even independents today, will read, "We believe that the Word of God was inspired in the original, in the originals." Let me tell you this. The originals don't exist. And when Jesus said He would preserve His Word, if they're saying only the originals are inspired, then they're saying that Jesus Christ did not keep His promise of preserving His Word. Amen. I don't believe the Word of God is inspired just in the originals. I believe it's inspired today in the English language in the King James Bible. Absolutely. We must hold to the Scriptures. There's so many churches out there today using 1,000 different versions, and their membership, for the most part, is so messed up. They pull out their Bibles. Nobody knows where they're at. You can't keep continuity. And on and on and on. Let's just stick to the old book. The old black book. You say, why, preacher? I gave you that 3-point outline before. We believe the King James Bible to be the most honest translation. We believe the King James Bible to be superior in its translation. Absolutely. It's funny how we believe that, and the smallest section at the bookstore now is the King James section. There's a reason for that, folks. In the last days, there'll be a falling away. And one of the things the church is falling away today is in the area of Scriptures. Number two is separation. What kind of church are we going to plant? What kind of church is Heritage Baptist Church? We are a separated church. Most churches today do not believe in separation. They believe that's legalistic. We don't believe separation is legalistic. We believe separation is obedience to God. He said, "Come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord." We're to be in the world, but not of the world. And churches that we plant ought to be churches that are separated. I still believe there are some standards. By the way, everybody has a standard. It's not all relative. People who say, "Well, it's all relative," I always tell them, "Hey, if a person came into your house and stole a stereo, and you walked in as they were stealing your stereo, would you stop them?" Then you have a standard. You know, if you stop them, everybody has a standard. It's not a matter of whether you believe shorts to the knees are okay or shorts. Everybody has a standard, right? Church over in North Dallas had their baptismal service at a water park. That's the where churches are going today. On TV, baptizing people in a water park, bikinis and everything going on. And we're saying that glorifies God? Separation. We still believe there is a standard in our areas of life that we are to look different, act different, smell different. There ought to be a difference between us and the world. Amen? Amen. Are we just a seeker-sensitive church that allows anything? Come in your shorts and flip-flops and everything's okay? Absolutely, a visitor can come and wear whatever they want. But once a person's saved and a child of God, and I think God changes them. The Bible says we ought to wear modest apparel. And I think we ought to come to church dressed to honor God. I think you ought to come to church wearing your best, whatever that may be. Spend more time there, but I won't. Lastly is soul winning. Soul winning. This is an area which, from time to time, Heritage Baptist Church has been really great at, and sometimes we're, you know, it's kind of like this. It ebbs and flows. And I think it ebbs and flows with me and with the emphasis that I place upon it. But teachers and workers, every visit is a soul-winning visit. Remember, we started using that here about 5 years ago. Every visit is a soul-winning visit. I told you here a few weeks ago, I got a chance, me and my wife, to win the ladies of the Lord, and they've been here the last couple Sundays except today. Every visit is a soul-winning visit. Every visit you make is a soul-winning visit. Every person you talk to, you ought to be soul-conscious. I want to do a better job. And at the same time, we reproduce a church. That church needs to be a soul-winning church. I'm not talking about just coming out on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and you ought to be doing that. I'm talking about every day. Being a soul winner. Obeying the Lord's command. What makes Heritage Baptist Church distinct? Now, there's Baptist distinctives and things that makes us distinct as a Baptist, but what makes Heritage Baptist Church different today than most of the churches around us. I think you could put these three things and maybe a few more in there. And that is our adherence to Scripture and our love for the King James Bible. Our belief in standards, that there is still a standard there and there ought to be a separation from the world. And the way we dress and the music we listen to and the way we wear our hair. I mentioned here a few weeks ago about the Bible says it's a shame for men to have long hair. And I remember as a kid getting up, preachers, I mean, they preached it. It's a sin for a man to have long hair. You know, it's still in the Bible. By the way, that's a New Testament scripture, not an Old Testament scripture. Right? And I've had somebody say to me, well, preacher, it says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. It doesn't say it's a sin. Okay, it's a shame then. You know? All right. Then we get into the discussion how long is too long and whatever. I really believe that a man ought to look like a man, a woman ought to look like a woman. Right? If you look at a man from the back, you can't tell whether it's a man or a woman. There's something wrong. Amen? Amen? Help me out. I know that there are areas which we could probably sit down and discuss, but that is one where it's a definite scripture. But there's areas of separation that we need to hold to. And we need to continue to preach. I know here lately I've been mentioning alcohol and these type of things. These are things we still need to touch on. And I know we need to touch on the others as well. You know, bitterness and gossip and malice and anger. All of these issues. But the area of separation is in the Bible. And because it's not popular, churches aren't teaching it. And that's one of the things that makes Heritage Baptist Church unique. We still believe in preaching. And I appreciate your support of that. Anybody who stands in this pulpit needs your support and your amens when they begin to preach about standards. And then again, soul winning. Soul winning is one of those areas that prayer meeting and soul winning. I mean, one of those areas we're going to continue to work on and struggle in. And from time to time, again, it's like this in our Christian life. Because that's how we are. Right? And as teachers and workers, it's like this. But let me tell you again, soul winning is primary to God. The churches we plant, soul winning needs to be primary. Soul winning needs to be the main thing. Soul winning in our Sunday school classes, soul winning in our children's church, soul winning in master's clubs, soul winning in children's choir, soul winning in our adult departments, soul winning as we go out and tell others about Jesus on Tuesdays and Saturdays, soul winning at your job, soul winning at with your neighbor, soul winning, whatever it may be. Soul winning. I'm proud of Josh isn't here, but I'm proud of Josh. We have neighbors that live behind us. And Josh was influenced in winning one of those boys to the Lord. And seeing that family's come some. And we certainly haven't reached them totally. But listen, it's about winning others to Jesus. Absolutely. And we want to do a better job. So the churches we plant, that's what makes them unique. Again, if you take a circle around Heritage Baptist Church, you take about an 8-mile circle, you'll be hard-pressed to find any conservative churches in that area. Churches that still believe in the Scriptures, still believe in separation, and still believe in soul winning. You'd have a hard time finding anything. Not just independent, so I'm talking about Southern and anybody. It's not there. Oh, they'll say to you, well, you know, our message hasn't changed. And for many of them, their message hasn't. Let me rephrase that. For some of them, their message hasn't. I'm glad our message hasn't changed. Amen? Amen. It's the same as it was 100 years ago. I believe if you took Heritage Baptist Church and placed it alongside the church that Jesus Christ established in Jerusalem, that they would be teaching the same thing. Amen? If I didn't, I'd be something else. The message is the same. The methods haven't changed. And this is where we differ with the seeker-sensitive movement. I believe the Bible gives us methods whereby to reach people. The Bible says, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. They went out two by two. That's the method that's used in the Scriptures. Amen? Amen. That's the method. I believe our methods don't change. I believe our means do. I believe it's okay to print up real nice postcards and mail them out. Four color, too. I mean, four color. I got one in the mail the other day. Independent Baptist Church. Advertisement. Photocopied. On a printer. And it's okay if you photocopy them on a printer, but it looked like it was done in 1970, you know? You know what I'm talking about? It had the little black dots all over it, and You know, it looked like you could tell they cut it and had taped it. And it's like, what are you thinking? I mean, we can change our means. Listen to this one. This is going to be a tough one. I told Jason, man, it's not wrong to use a screen to put your music on. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't do that. Amen? That's a means. A means. Amen. Okay. Drop the bomb on everybody. That's a means. You're saying, preacher, you're going to do that here? We're going to have hymn books in the deal. You always have a hymn book. Amen? Notice the way I phrase that. Always have a hymn book. But means do change. And we do. Man, the guys on the internet tonight, what a ministry to have. They're going on vacation, Adam and Amy. Let's pray for them as they travel. But I want to be real honest with you. We've reached more people through that than we have this. That right there. Most people through the website. Amen. What a great tool. But I think we need to do more of this. And reach more people with the gospel. People who are unchurched, unconverted, who need the Lord. Amen. Message doesn't change. Our methods don't change. Our means do. Our means of communicating. People got iPods here tonight and iPhones. And all. We were talking this at prayer meeting how that one of our visitors pulled out his iPhone and has a Bible on it, you know. I will never preach from an iPod, okay? Bring my Bible. But means do change, and means are not wrong. But let's keep the three S's. The Scriptures, separation, and soul winning. Let's keep it. And that's the churches we'll be replanting. What churches will we replant? Jason Pugh, the pastor of Berean Baptist Church, will be planting a church just like Heritage Baptist Church. That will be a conservative, traditional, independent, fundamental Baptist church on the west side of Burleson. There's already one on the east side for the Terry Williams. We're going to plant one on the west side. And we'll be the second, only the second, independent, fundamental Baptist church in Burleson, a town of 33,000 people. Put it in perspective. The town I grew up in, Bowie, Texas, town of 5,000, has 6 independent Baptist churches. See, how many independent Baptist churches need to be in Burleson, Texas? Probably 5 or 6. The same, you know what? People, you say, well, they're teaching and preaching the same stuff. Well, no matter what you say, personalities play an influence in it. Some of you drive from whatever to come here, right? And will continue to do so. Amen? Amen. There probably is maybe another independent Baptist church conservative closer to you than us. But you come here because of either family, friends, maybe pastor, whatever, but you come here. Well, there are some who are not going to go to Terry Williams Church on the east side of Burleson. They're just not going to do it. And we will provide for them a way to go, another option. Amen? Amen. I feel good about the whole thing. Let's all stand. I know this message is more informative than it was application-wise, but I want to remind you teachers and workers, every member of Heritage Baptist Church, that we are to be soul winners for Jesus Christ. Every visit is a soul winning visit. Every contact we make, we ought to be soul conscious. Whether it's at the hospital or with our next door neighbor, with a cousin, aunt, or uncle, we ought to be soul conscious. And as a church, we must keep the main thing the main thing. The two hardest ministries, I believe, in any church to keep going is the prayer ministry and soul winning ministry. And these are two areas we constantly have to reevaluate and we constantly have to push forward in.